Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
So then she was like, if you could only have one wish, what would that wish be? And I was like, you're not a real genie. You just saw me rubbing this lamp. And then you walked over here because you work at Lowe's.
Well, some of the same color pattern too. That's what can throw you off. The orange. A lot of genies have orange in their genie suit.
And she did have it pulled back in a high ponytail, you know, her hair.
Yeah, but like not back, not top, at that angle at like a 45.
Yeah, but also you're wearing your Lowe's vest with your name on it.
Yeah.
Yes, your name is Genie, but you're not a genie.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's just blind luck right there on her part, but see what you're up to and have her name being that.
I get it. It probably works for most people. And I'm like, I don't have time. I mean, my lamp is out. I need a new lamp.
The kid's busy.
I'm busy. I'm lamp shopping.
You're out there.
And this one feels better than the other lamps. I think I'm going to go with it.
You don't have time. You had to rub that one, and a girl named Jeannie came up and helped you.
Oh, and by the way, we had to start late because my internet wasn't working. So I called Comcast, and they ran all these tests, and basically they're like, yeah, your modem doesn't work anymore since the last updates. I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know. I appreciate the email that I did not get.
You pigs.
And I need a new modem. And they said, great, we'll set you an appointment and we'll have somebody bring one out. And I was like, okay, so when will that be? Because I have a podcast to do. Right now. And they're
now.
Like, well,
no,
the earliest,
no, no,
the earliest
no, no,
we
no.
can get anybody there is Monday. And I'm like, that's not going to work. Can't do it. It's too late for me. There's a service center right up the road. Why can't I just go up there and see if they have one? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can do that if you want.
Why do they think that you could just fucking take 5 days off the internet?
Exactly. I mean, everybody's working on the internet right now. Like, how
I'll go down to that office and cost. I'll go down to the fucking cost. Costco? No, it's Coms. What is it?
Comcast Service Center.
I'll head down to Comcast and fuck everybody up, dude. Right now.
Right.
One of you fucks get me a modem stat.
What are you trying to pull here? So I drive 10 minutes from my house to the Comcast Service Center. Walk right in. I hand them the old modem. I'm like, hey, somebody at Comcast said I need to come trade this in for the new one that's white. And they're like, okay, boom, put it right on the counter. Hit a barcode scanner, said, here you go. Thank you. Like that quick. And I'm like, these fucking mopes were going to make me wait 5 days if I hadn't come up with the idea of driving to the service center myself.
If you weren't such a proactive kind of guy.
Jesus Christ. And now I get home. I get it all hooked up through the app on my phone, yada, yada, yada. And then I run speed test on it. And it just came back and said, bro. Are you at NASA right now? Because we can't even measure your speed is so fast.
From what I understand, they want to take your internet and race it out in those deserts in Salt Lake City, outside of Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Where they break the ground speed records.
The servers, like if somebody listening to this right now is trying to use speedtest.net, they'll see it doesn't work anymore because they were so depressed about how fast my modem was running
that
speed test, went, walked into another room, loaded its gun, put it in its mouth, and ended it.
Yeah. It was like speed test was actually went to a bad neighborhood, asked around to a few people, found a nice little crack house, and bought some speed and then did that. And that's what your internet is.
Exactly. It's on meth. My router's mm-hmm. on meth right now.
Some say speed. They call it speed, too. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the bikers used to in the 70s.
Hey, my buddy Jeff, right? I guess, I don't know, in 2000, I brought all my stuff when I moved from L.A. When I moved to L.A., I had all my stuff. You know, I had some, I had like my picture albums and shit from like my high school graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And my first ever, like when I used to work at that bar, Dos Gringos, these dudes used to come in. They were some sort of tech guys and they fucked with DVDs at the time. And they said, hey, Latham, you want to get your set on DVD? And I was like, yeah. And I was a year in, not even, right? I probably had done 20 sets, maybe 30 right. sets.
Ready for a special?
Yeah, ready for a special. And I said, yeah, I want a DVD. So we filmed it. I brought them the tape. They fucking made me like 50 DVDs and brought them in. And I sold them to customers for $5, but I found it.
Nice.
I got one. It's from November of 2002.
Nice.
And it's fucking set, bro. Hilarious.
Are you going to release it to the world?
I think I could put it on Patreon. We can watch it together.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Do a watch
like this
along.
Is a 20. This is almost 20. Next year will be, what's 2021? Next year will be a 20-year anniversary of this shit. I can't believe that.
I want to see it.
Of this fucking 7 minute and 40, 740 duration.
Nice.
I don't know what the hell I did. I mean, I had all my prop jokes. I see it because I can see like there's pictures on the front of the and back of it of all the frames and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the cover. It just says DVD. And I can see all my props.
I love it. You had props. Oh, it's milk. Back in your prop days?
Yeah. I got my nice. Milk jug. I got my key, my screwdrivers on the keychain. Nice. I probably got my mouthpiece bit. I did the BMW joke for sure.
I love it. I love it.
So I think that's what we'll do on Patreon. We can fucking sit around and watch it.
Yeah, that'll be shit hot. I love it. Man. I'm still trying to find those old DVDs of my sets early on from Morty's. I'm going to find them. If nothing else, I'll have Bowers keep digging. But
does he still have that spool?
I don't know. He just took all the DVDs that he could find. And he just threw them in a box. And he tried to get them to everybody because a lot of names were labeled on them. And I was like, I don't really want mine. He's like, well, I'll hang on to them. I'm pretty sure he said I'll hang on to them because you might want them one day. Of course, he was right. Yeah. I do.
You do.
I want to go back in my one-liner days trying to be Mitch Hedberg. I can't wait to see those.
Oh, yeah. I got that. I got the original tape. Here's a fucking picture of me and Jay Moore in 2001.
Nice.
That's love how it. I used to fucking have a whole big board. I used to pin him to.
That's
he autographed it. Look at my mustache, bro, and that beating that goat.
Sweet fucking. You almost got
I was like a buck 85 right here, maybe, bro.
You almost got the Johnny Depp facial hair going there.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. But I mean, that's full on fucking that could be 75 pounds ago, dude. Yikes. I need to go hit the treadmill. Stat, bro. You know, I was talking to my lady today. We were we were out and we just ended up talking about it. But it's always funny whenever somebody posts a picture of somebody else, but they only look good in it. So it's like two or three people, and then the other three people are like looking in the wrong direction, like a weird chin going, or their head cocked back or some weird shit, right?
That's hilarious.
Or they're touching their face, it's blurry. Everybody looks shit except for that one person, like just perfect in the picture, because you know they can look at the other people when they post that. You're like, you're an asshole.
Yeah, you know, I fucking, you know, I was having a bad day. You know, you caught me at a bad moment. I was lit. Yeah, I had stupid moment. Face. Dude, I posted the other day about asking people their favorite two combinations of cereals to combine to make one, and then yesterday I posted. The actual, like I got a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and a box of Cocoa Puffs, and I did the 50-50 pour at the same time in the bowl and ate it. So I put a picture on Twitter of it. And by the way, it's fucking crack, dude. I can't stop eating it. Like, and I guess the Bob and Tom show picked it up today and was talking about it this morning. I kept getting all these tweets about people saying Josh Arnold was calling me a fat ass. Which he's right. I mean, it's fucking COVID. Oh. I'm letting myself go. But I mean to tell you, why aren't more, we need a line of cereals ourselves. Just call it 50-50. And it's just 50-50, man. It's half of the two favorite flavored cereals. Like, we'll make our own version of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and our own version of Cocoa Puffs, but we'll combine them shits. Why aren't people doing that?
Yeah. I think people are lazy, man. I think you can show a horse the water. You can't make them drink, Todd.
Yes. And I'm not talking about, the one piece of cereal having both chocolate and cinnamon toast flavor or chocolate and peanut butter flavor. I'm talking about two different pieces of cereal at the same time going in your mouth. One that's cinnamon toast flavored and one that's chocolate flavored. That's way different than trying to combine those two flavors into one cereal.
It can be done. We know it can be done.
Yeah.
They're just sitting back and reaping their profits right now, and they're $5 and $6 a box, man. That should probably cost $2 a box max. $1.50 a box max, probably, dude.
I mean, listen, at one time they just discontinued it, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch had chocolate toast crunch or whatever it was. They had a chocolate version of it.
Oh, I did not know.
Why didn't they come out with a 50-50 box where you could get, or was a mix of the two? It would have been perfect, dude.
That's almost like they almost feng shuied cereal.
Yes. What are we doing? We're selling them separately? Okay, cool. But also make a 50-50 series. Come out with it. I guarantee you it outsells just the chocolate by itself.
If you can't recognize that the entire country is slowly becoming pro and legalized weed, then you're not going to recognize the fact that there's certain flavors out there that they haven't figured out that we have, because we dig deep, as a weed smoking society, to find such combinations to please ourselves.
God damn it. You just nailed it, Sean. You just fucking nailed it. They're not, man, most of the country now is legalized weed. We got to change our flavor profiles and our snacks.
Things are going to start getting mixed up around here, man. And I don't mean by confusion. I mean, because fucking people want two different flavors in their mouth at the same time.
Yeah, we do. Also, I mean, you can't just get by with simple ice cream anymore. Mm-mm. Now you're going to have to change it up. You're going to have to somehow actually sell a container of ice cream that has a package of Ding Dongs on top of it. Ooh. So that I can all at once buy that together as an item. That way I can take a spoonful of ice cream and a bite of Ding Dong at the same time. Don't make me go to a different shelf. Just put the Ding Dong package together with the carton of ice cream.
Take a fucking Nutter Butter, cut it in half, put it on top. Let me get in there. I want textures. I want a lot of flavors. And that's what I want. And if you can't do it, guess what? I'll do it myself.
Mm.
But I don't want to do it myself. I want you to do it for me, and I want to feel good about it.
Favorite snacks when you're high? Go.
Oh, man. So it's a tough one. Sometimes it's natural things like a cucumber with some lemon and some cayenne pepper. Other times it's Nutter Butter. A lot of times it's fucking ice cream of any kind. Like I'll definitely go with a nice sherbet. Hit me with a fucking a cone. Like a waffle cone with the vanilla ice cream dipped in chocolate with the nuts on it. I forgot what that's called.
The ice cream sundaes?
Yeah, the little cone.
And the
drumsticks?
Drumsticks, thank you, sir.
Thank you. I can think of it.
A fucking good drumstick or Oreo cookies, though. I'm going to have to take a top notch.
Yes.
Oreo cookies and a little glass of whiskey.
Mmm. I like delicious. My regular food that doesn't hurt me when I'm high is to take a pickle spear, a slice of cheese, and a few slices of lunch meat.
Okay.
I'll wrap the lunch meat around the cheese and the pickle spear and just eat it like that. And sometimes I'll hold a thing of olive oil mayonnaise in this hand, a container. Oh, and wow. Before every bite, I put a little glob of that olive oil mayonnaise on there.
You're just going with a breadless sandwich here, really, is what you're doing.
Breadless sandwich, man.
And you know, and if I know a small tip there for folks at home, because obviously there's nobody else here except for me, you, and Jarrett. So it's everybody's at home or wherever they are. If you want to get a Big Mac, but you don't want all that extra bread, just order the regular. What is it? How do you do it? You order the regular sandwich. How the fuck did I do it?
You get the it's the regular cheeseburger, but you just get the Big Mac sauce on it.
Yeah, and you also have, but no, because it's not two patties. There's a double cheese.
The double burger.
The McDouble.
Yeah.
Get the McDouble. That's it. Ask and also ask for shredded lettuce and special sauce. And then if they say anything to you, tell them to go fuck themselves. And you go back behind the counter and do it yourself. How's that
Absolutely.
Sound?
Hey, hang on a second.
Something happened?
Something just fell. Did you hear that crash?
Yeah, what was that?
Something just fell in my house. Hang on one second.
All right, you go find out.
See what happened.
Let's talk to Jarrett.
You just talk.
Hey, Jarrett. Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man?
How was your day at work, Jarrett?
You know, it was a long day, but we made it. Another day.
Another day, huh? What do you do at your job, bro? What do you do at your job?
I'm a sales analyst, so all kinds of stuff.
Sales analyst.
Yeah. All kinds of just numbers and such. It's a good time.
He crunches numbers.
How was your day, Sean?
Listen, I had a good day. I woke up. I went through all my old bat. Well, listen, I have some amazing basketball cards that I do not have any longer. I used to have a stack of Jordans. I had an album of like 500 cards in it.
That's kind of sick.
Those are gone. I also had a stack of magazines with nothing but Jordan on it, probably 5 foot high. And then I did save some. Somehow they stayed at my buddy's house. And my buddy randomly was moving and he found them. He goes, bro, I've been carrying these around my fucking stuff for 20 years. Do you want your shit? He's like, yeah, bro. So he sent me some photos of my cards and I was looking at them today. Some of them, if they're mint condition, they'd be like $1,800, bro. But
that's crazy.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. But there's still a couple hundred. I got some Jordans in there. I had like 8 Jordans left. But they all, you know, I had all my old, I went through all my old baseball cards. It was nice. It was fun. It was like a real blast in the past, real nostalgic to see all my shit that I used to fuck with from like 10 to 15, 10 to 16, you know?
That's crazy. What fell in your house, Todd?
Yeah, I found out what it was. So I got this fancy, I went to a Home and Garden show one time and I bought this fancy shower head combination. So, like, you know, the big round, like, garden shower spouts that cascade over you?
Yeah, yeah.
It has that, but then also a hose runs off of it to a nozzle that you can hold.
Yeah, and wash your nuts
underneath. Spray yourself down to your nuts or your taint or your dog, whatever.
Yeah, you put a leg up on the wall and go to work.
Oh, yeah. And then it's that suction cups, the holder for it, suction cups to the tile wall. And about every 2 or 3 months, the suction gives out and it falls and crashes in the tub and scares the fuck out of you. Sometimes it happens in the middle of the night. And then you grab the gun under your mattress.
Todd, you cracked this case quick, bro.
You got to clear the whole house. But yeah, that's what just happened.
For homicide detectives, the clock starts ticking the moment they are called.
Whoever shot him in the back walked up on him.
Fucking Shalacy, bro.
Oh, shit.
I had to pull it out, bro. It sounded like it was a full fucking investigation popping off there on your part. For homicide. I want that guy to do my eulogy, bro.
Yeah.
I want that fucking dude that does the voiceover for First 48. I want him to do everything. I want him to do all... I want him to do my life story or whatever, dude.
He has the best voice for voiceover. I wanted to run and check it. I would have just paused, but I would have worried about it afterward. But I just set that new modem up on the fireplace mantle, and the cord's a little bit tight, stretching it from the power thing, because I wanted it up high. And I was like, please don't tell me that modem fucking fell off.
Damn.
Fucking is in pieces on the floor.
I'm gonna be real honest with you, Dodd. I mean, I'm not sure if this is what it is, but it feels like it. It feels like you're just kind of working on a more clear mindset, kind of feeling like you're pumped up right now. You're not feeling very lazy. It's almost like you fucked around and had some 3-Chi, the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products, Todd.
Well, you nailed it, Sean. That's why I'm extra productive at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, you're knocking things down. And I'm gonna be honest, I wouldn't expect you to fuck with any product, any you know, any type of Delta 8 THC other than the, you know, the product that's formulated by a biochemist. You know what I mean? 3-Chi, all made in USA with nothing but United States of America grown hemp, Todd.
That's all I'll use, man. I need it formulated by biochemists, and I need the products to be made right here at home in the great old USA. Best country in the world.
I mean, look at you. You have increased confidence, Todd. You almost have no anxiousness like normal. You have no paranoia that's usually associated with Delta 9 usage.
Mm-hmm.
You're a new man, kid.
I am a new man. It's all because of this federally legal version of THC. You know, the Delta 8 effects, perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9. That's exactly what I'm looking for, because I want that similar buzz and all the medicinal effects of Delta 9. But I don't want the laziness, anxiety, paranoia, or mental fogginess, because I got shit to do, Sean.
You do. You're a busy guy, okay? And I guess when I try to explain this product to people, you know, they hear ads all the time. They hear everything they do, everywhere they go. There's an ad. But this one is the real deal, okay? 3-Chi isn't just the best in the Delta industry. They're not the best in the industry because you know why? They invented the industry. There was no industry. 3-Chi comes along. Here's the industry. You get Listen, it, Todd.
Yeah, throughout history, we've had them, right? Thomas Edison, he invented the light bulb. Alexander Graham Bell, the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington Carver, the...
Whatever he did.
Peanut butter. And now, 3-Chi with Delta 8. I mean, this was an industry not there, and they said, you know what? We want it to be there. Let us work on it for about 6 months. Boom, here it is. And it's perfectly legal. You know why? I know that. Because you got to be 21 to even purchase it.
Yes, sir. 21 to purchase. And here's the good news, Todd. Mm-hmm. If everybody goes to 3chi.com, that's the number 3chi.com, to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils they can use to make their own homemade edibles. They could do that right now. And if they use the promo code GUNS, G-U-N-S, at checkout. You ready? 5% off. 5% off. 5% off. 5% off. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're talking about. And can you find them on social media? Yes, you can. You can find them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at 3-Chi, the number 3-CHI-CBD. And if you don't think that we feel as passionately as we say we do about 3-Chi, listen to this. We got an offer to do another competitor, do ads for them. And you know what we said? No,
Fuck
thank
off.
You. No, thank you. It's important to us that our listeners realize that we're only passionate about 3-Chi because we think they're the best. Mm-hmm.
They are the. We know they're the best. We don't think it. We know it. And if they go to 3chi.com right now, promo code GUNS, 5% off, must be 21 to purchase, eat a bowl of shit, get on board. I'm telling you, this stuff is so delicious.
It's absolutely amazing. If you think we're bullshitting, you know what? Just try it. If you don't agree, I'll give you your money back.
Guess what, though? They don't get it. That's the problem.
You don't get it.
I'm trying to help you guys get it. It's me and Todd right here on the side of getting this. You're on the don't get it in this side. This is how we bridge the gap to getting it, and it's called 3-Chi.
Why don't you guys want to get it? Just get it,
it's
man.
It's like they're
you
fighting
don't.
Themselves, bro. It's like, hey, look, if you turn around, there's a free path to walk. But you know what they keep doing? They choose to turn back and stay and chisel through the rock, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the actor. And I don't mean the drugs either. I just mean like actual physical rock, like from the ground.
And not Chris or Tony.
No.
Or any of their brothers. Uh-uh. We're talking about this.
So that's what's up, man.
That's what's up. We were talking about meth earlier. You know who you know, used to really, really love meth?
Who?
The Japanese, in World War II, the kamikaze pilots, they were making meth back then in Japan with the red phosphorus method. Uh-huh. And they were giving it to their pilots so they could stay up for long periods of time. And especially like just giving the kamikazes all they want, because you got to get yourself in a certain state of mind to know, oh, when I'm running out of gas, I just need to find a ship, an American ship, and just aim toward it and just crash into it and blow myself up. So, meth. Thank you.
You know, they're cracking down on that. They're cracking down on it. And I mean that. Like, when they say crack down, that means their ship, their plane going straight down. They're on crack going right down at the aircraft carriers.
Mm-hmm. Did they outlaw that for more now? I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore.
In Japan, only if you're a kamikaze pilot. They do keep a nice heaping amount of blue magic crack.
Are there any kamikaze pilots still alive? You think like one?
Maybe like a failed one who has to tell the story.
One is screwed lived. Up and he has to live in dishonor because he missed and fucking guy, skimmed the water.
He had the hiccups and bumped his parachute. Something like that.
Just had bad aim because he was too jacked up on meth. Just overshot it.
Dude, that's nice, man. What a nice country to give you crack to get you pumped up to a to do suicide bombings. That's wild, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. The Middle East needs to call suicide bombers something else. Japan called them fucking kamikazes. How much more honor does it sound to say that than to say suicide bomber?
We didn't call them suicide pilots.
Yeah, we called them kamikazes. And guess what? They have a new drink after them. Not new, but they had a drink. It was such a good move that it took over in the cocktail form, which was a little bit of vodka, a little bit of triple sec. And then some sweet and sour, maybe some simple syrup, maybe went in there, and a little bit of lime.
That's how you know we don't hold a grudge. You know what? We were like, listen, that sucked when you guys were doing that. That was kind of hard to deal with. But it's over now. We respect, you know, the move. So here's a delicious drink that you can use as a chaser if you want to add a little extra kick to that tequila shot.
And you know what else? It was wild. One time I was hanging out with some old school Japanese people and I ordered a round of kamikazes and they thought I was being funny. And I'm like, my bad. Yeah. I didn't even put two and two together here, guys. They didn't like it too much. The deal didn't go through. What are you going to do, bro? There's nothing you can do, man. Listen, that's how life works, dude. Hey, let's get around a kamikazes for me and the homies, bro. Where are you guys going? What? We just got started.
Who's that Japanese comedian? I mean, Japanese American.
Yoshi,
bit about the Pearl Harbor Museum. Oh my God.
That guy crushes or makes people leave the room. He's so unbelievable. And you know what the best part is? He don't give a flying fuck, bro.
Yeah.
He don't give a flying fuck, dude. He is one of the best, bro. And you know what? He's just so, he offends people so much.
Everybody look up Yoshi and then Pearl Harbor Museum joke.
Yeah.
Just type that in there and find it. Just treat yourself to a little something special.
Oh, man. He's so good. I hung out with him anytime I'm in the same city, we always kick it.
Yeah.
He's my guy, bro. He's so funny. And you know what? Honestly, if you hung out, like, he isn't even always like that. Like, he's not like a dirty ass dude all the time.
No,
he just comes in and rips it off. He just rips off on stage. Goes off on a tear. Rips it off on a tear, and it's fucking beautiful, dude.
I've only seen him do shorter sets, just when he would pop through Morty's. And of course, he was friends with Stan Chen, and usually when Dave Attell would come through, Yoshi would come through and then do a guest set or something.
Or I think he actually featured for him for a while.
Yeah.
He features for a lot of big guys, Russell Peters, other people. I always see Yoshi always somewhere doing something on his Instagram, dude. He's just a guy in the move.
Yeah.
I love it, bro. I did Trevor Noah got me sets in South Africa. I did some comedy in South Africa in Cape
Town. How was that? Did they translate over?
Yeah, it did. It did translate well.
Yeah.
Well, the one time I didn't think it was going to translate well is when we did the Oslo Norway Comedy Festival. I got booked on that in 2015. And we went to Norway. For this festival, and I'm up first after the MC, and the MC completely did the whole set in a different language.
Really?
And I was like, I don't know, this is gonna fly.
He just did and then it in got, Dutch.
But then I was doing it, and it was getting good to me, and I was up there living it up.
Nice.
That's when I first became buddies with Chris DiStefano.
Everybody that I've talked to has had good experiences when they do overseas where they speak English.
Yeah.
But dude, I was always so worried awesome. They won't get my references, but they're like, no, dude, they read way more about our culture than you would ever expect.
Yeah. Yeah. They know our movies. They know all of our stuff, but I think your stories would do wonderful there. They love storytelling too. They love stories. Europe loves storytelling more than anything. That's why the top comedians that can tour there from America are all storytellers.
Really?
Yeah, they're all storytellers. Gabriel Iglesias, Russell Peters, you know, Jim Jeffries, like all those people, Joe Coy, they're all storytellers. Ricky Gervais, a ton of other people that are hilarious, all these good stories. They love the literature version of a good story, and that's it. Like, we're definitely more advanced comedically, but I mean, just because it's here, been here longer, we've been doing it longer. So it's obviously, it's like technology and aliens, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to be able to fucking, you know, do teleporting. They've been around for 200 years longer than us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What a reference by me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wish we could teleport, dude. Like, I still remember that from my childhood, Star Trek.
I'd go right now. I'd fucking teleport to the liquor store, get a 40-ounce, come back.
Right.
Home.
Just to get there right now, like when we got to go to Wichita, if we all could just step into the teleporter room and beam me in, Scotty, boom, we show up right there at the hotel. Yeah,
beam me up, old Scotty.
Damn.
I would like to learn the origination of the beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. Whoever thought of that.
Nice work, dude. Beam me up, Scotty.
I'd be all afraid my shit with my molecules would get all mixed up. I'd arrive and my dick would be under my armpit or something. Be like, you fucking... scramble my molecules. They didn't get put together right.
Yeah, and you know what? That's just how it works. Like, sometimes you're going to come back with less particles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have shit particles. They fly around. That's why I like to keep my toothbrush in the drawer so the shit particles that float around don't latch on there and I don't have to brush my teeth with shit particles.
If we were shipmates on the USS Enterprise, mm-hmm. and we had in the engineering room, we had a teleportation machine like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I would spend our entire time like firing it up, and I'd be like, okay, you're ready. You're like, ready, go. And as soon as you hit it, I would fart into the teleportation beam and we would send it to the Klingon ship. And they would just constantly be like, oh, somebody's coming. And there'd be nobody. And they'd be like, oh, what is that?
A fart just teleported over from another ship.
Just be able to send farts across the universe.
And we're
ships.
Talking after a night of drinking beers and pitchers of draft beer and also chili and cheese sticks. You know what I mean? Late night on a Taco Biz.
I would That's also take a brown paper bag and I would shit in it. And set it in there and light it on fire right before you hit the
classic
beam and then send it to their teleportation room. And then they call it a transporter room, but I like teleportation better.
I would get a running start, and right when you hit the thing, I'd throw a baseball in it. And then when the baseball zapped over, it'd still be going straight. Hit somebody, maybe hit somebody in the head because it'd just be like nice. a live round. Catch this, motherfucker. And then I would launch it and I'd say, go, Todd, and then zap the ball and then hope that it carried its momentum somehow through the universe of teleportation and fucking catch somebody.
Yeah.
And then if you're savvy in the other ship, you wear your first base glove. You catch the ball. No big deal.
Well, there was one episode where Captain Kirk and I, like, the USS Enterprise was down for the count, dude. Yeah. They barely had any. Scotty had to work his ass off just to get enough engine power to run the transporter room to get
it
operational.
To beam people up.
So they could beam Kirk and McCoy and Spock to the Klingon ship to negotiate a surrender.
Uh-huh.
Except they really were tricking them. But I'm like, why wouldn't you just take a fucking bomb and set it in there? They think you're coming. And when there's a bing, when it shows up, it's just a bomb. Tick, 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 tick. Boom. You blow up their whole ship. Then why has nobody ever tried that?
You know what? Because we're too fucking advanced mentally with our ideas, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You know how advanced we are? The other day we were talking about how basically little cities going to be floating around America. I'm sorry, around the globe.
Yeah.
Already in impossible discussion is the first space hotel for 2027. I tagged you on Twitter.
What's it called?
I don't know. I'm probably going to be a Wyndham. Maybe a Red Roof Inn.
That'd be great if it's a Motel 6. This is shitty motel, the first motel in space.
It's going to be called the Voyager Class Space Station, the world's first space hotel slated to open in 2027, up to 400 guests.
Fuck me.
That means that those people got to get up there, bro.
Oh, it's... Is it a whole resort? Like, we have a pool and all that stuff there, too? Other because otherwise you're just stuck in your room and there's nothing else to do in space.
That's a good question, Todd.
Are they going to have HBO? Are they going to have movie channels? Because I will when I go to a hotel and I show up and you don't have HBO, I get shitty. Why do we not have HBO?
There will be bars, restaurants, a gym.
So I bet the weight's going to be lighter up there. Come on!
I can watch me bench press 1,200 pounds.
By the way, the snack machine is going to have to be upside down because the snacks won't be able to fall down when you fucking buy one.
That's true. The opening's going to have to be at the top.
The fuck am I going to get the snacks out, bro? They have to reinvent the snack machine. I used to fucking steal every single piece of every bag of chips on the bottom row, bro.
Yeah.
Just like Mitch Hedberg said, man. Man, before snack machines, used to be hard times for snack machine owners. Because they'd be like, what do you want? I want this and everything else on the bottom row. I used to just lift my hand up there. We used to have tricks on the soda machines at the hotel next door to the skating rink, bro.
Uh-huh.
I'd go over there and fucking get my little arm up in there. Bing, bop, started yanking out sodas for everybody, bro.
Oh, yeah. We had the snack machine in our wrestling room in the multipurpose room in high school. You could just shoulder that motherfucker real hard or rock it back and let it go. And half of the front row bags of chips and candy bars would fall.
Like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, I wish they brought back fucking snack machines that just didn't care. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Those snack machines didn't care.
They didn't care.
It was free snacks for everybody, dude.
Just a little spirally thing. Now they got them all like their little elevators in there.
Yeah.
They stop at a floor and then they push the thing out. Come on.
Get the fuck
give me
out
a
of
shot
here,
of getting a free something.
I mean, put a little life into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, what are we going to do, bro? The world's getting soft. I saw that meme the other day. It showed the playground in 1900 versus a playground now. It's like, what a joke. What a fucking joke. I was a 1900s kid, bro. I was like, there's a kid sitting up on a bar about 15 feet up in the air with nothing under him. He's just sitting up there.
Yeah.
Just fucking monitoring the playground from 15 feet in the sky.
Just like a bird up on his perch.
Six-year-old kid.
And now nothing can be elevated whatsoever. And, you know, it's this big, everything's padded. They don't let you do the merry-go-round anymore. Remember you used to get trapped on that motherfucker like when you were like fifth or sixth grade, you get on there and then some high school kids would come over and they would just start swinging it as fast as they could around in a circle until you just threw up everywhere.
Yeah, you had to hold on for dear life. Your body was getting pulled away from the metal you're holding on.
Yeah.
You get tossed off, fucking bang into a rock, bust your ankle up, and then get back on and do it again.
It built character, man. It built character.
Come I remember on. One time I was on the zipper. Always a fucking questionable move at the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a wire go wham, like we're doing our twirls, and a wire whammed the back of our car.
Really?
And so like, oh, this motherfucker's coming apart.
Holy shit.
And there ain't no getting, there's no eject button. There's no, please stop this.
No.
You're at the mercy of a dude with about 12 to 15 teeth. And when he's ready for you to fucking go, dude, you go. And you flip and do, and you're on the zipper, kid. You're on the zipper.
He has no formal electrical or mechanical engineering training, yet he is running and repairing that thing on a daily basis.
I'll tell you what, the ability of the carny to just get away with absolute murder for all these years, just people flying off the cars, the fucking shit coming undone. Just everything these fools are up to, and they're still going strong, ripping us off on our... Hey, throw this softball in the basket. It's easy. Fuck you, whatever your name is. Why does the ball keep bouncing out of the goddamn basket?
Why won't this BB gun shoot straight? I'm beat it down on this thing. I can't hit the balloon. Come on.
I mean, what are we doing here? Does anybody ever land in a corner on the glass tables and the glass fucking plates? It's impossible. It just bounces off. It's the most. I mean, come on, guy. And I still try to throw. I said they're
We know we're going to get took when we go but we do it anyway. It's just part of it. I mean, it's got its own charm.
We know the hoop is oval. We know the hoop is mm-hmm. oval. We know the hoop's 11 foot. Mm-hmm. Okay? You pretty much got to be on a space station and drop the ball down hoping it goes through. I don't even think you can throw it high enough from with a gravitational fucking pull at the right angle to come down and an ability to go through that fucking hoop.
Wait till we have amusement parks in space. We're getting hotels. We'll have casinos soon. Wait until we get amusement parks. And then we have carnies and we have space carnies.
Oh, space carnies. It's going to be way harder to kill yourself in space after you lose all your rent money. Because you can't just jump off the edge anymore. You're just going to float, bro.
Yeah.
You're going to float down the street to the fucking Wyndham.
Oh, shit.
Mm. You know what that means? Like, here's where we're going to have a problem, I feel like, in 100 years. People are going to be like, who are you to tell me I can't jump and take my own asteroid and build on it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't own space. If I want to build a fucking space house on this 12,000-acre asteroid, then I'm going to do it. It's not your space. Right. And government's going to try to take over within a 500 radius of Earth is the blah, blah, blah. Eat a bowl of shit, politician.
Remember when we first expanded to the West? I mean, you won't remember it because we're not old enough, but it happened.
Yeah.
And
well, you were there.
Everybody got in their horse and carriage and they freaking just raced out. And if you stuck your flag on this plot of land, you fucking owned it. Like you paid so much money to get into this big race for land. Like the movie Far and Away with Tom Cruise was about that. And like that's what's going to be in space. Like at some point they're going to be like, all right, look, we've got all this shit marked off on this planet or whatever. Yeah. As long as you can afford to get into a ship and race toward there get your flag in there, you own the certain amount of acreage.
Let's hope this time, though, there ain't Mexicans there that are already living there that just get booted out.
That'll happen.
Because Mexico had Texas and California, and we're like, nah, kid, we're good. We'll take Los Angeles down to San Diego. Thanks, Holmes.
You know what I this is what cracks me up about here in America. Like the movie The Alamo and the whole story about The Alamo.
Yeah, where people like, Herman's bike was in the basement.
We demonize the fucking Mexicans for like defeating this small group of Texans that were defending the Alamo. And it's like, motherfucker, that was theirs.
Yeah.
Like, we went in there and said, hey, we own this now because we're Texans. We're calling ourselves Texans. And Mexicans are like, what? No. This is Mexico, my friend.
Yeah.
No. And then we got pissed because they tried to keep it. How dare you?
How dare you defend your land and family and freedom? We're trying to invade and steal this property. You're sitting on Houston, you pigs.
Yeah.
That's ours now. You can fucking get on the other side of Juarez over by El Paso.
We need this building here, the Alamo, because there's a river that runs right beside it. And one day we'll be able to pop off this scene with some cool ass restaurants and bars all up and down this motherfucker.
Yeah. They're going to call it Riverwalk in San Antonio, you pigs.
Mm-hmm. Let me load this musket.
I'll tell you right now, I'll put this musket right up your ass. And then what we're going to do after we steal your land, we're going to put you on TV as just a bunch of lazy people that hang out and take fucking siestas. Except for that one little rabbit, that little rat that runs around going Ariba. He's called Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, but his cousin was named Sleepy.
And all he did was get lit. He used to burp bubbles.
No, Speedy, I'm so sleepy. Like fucking, it was such a race. Looney Tunes were so racist, dude.
Pigs.
Racist.
What are you gonna do? Everything was racist, bro. That's the thing. That's the one thing you're like, we're holding court now over the past. You're like, do you know where we just came from?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the fuck is Colonel Sanders going to get canceled? Because we know he was a racist pig. I'll tell you, I bet my good eye he dropped about 15, 20 N-bombs a day.
You know it.
Look at that bow tie. That fucking bow tie screams, I dropped N-bombs before back in the day and shit. Like, that's what it screams to me.
I mean, we're making some good progress getting rid of some of those Confederate statues and shit or whatever. You know, those got to come down from public places. You can keep them in museums, fine. But
guess who's been funding the fight against that? Fucking the Colonel.
Yeah, the Colonel has.
KFC.
But why does Bugs Bunny still get to be on TV? I've watched his old cartoons, dude. He was racist as fuck. I don't care what he is now. He used to do blackface, I think. Yeah. Mammy. He used to sing that song, Mammy. Like, dude, I don't care what you're doing right now. I saw those. You're canceled.
A lot of people don't even know that Ronald Reagan used to drop N-bombs.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Holy Google shit. Ronald Reagan N-bomb, dude.
Really?
Somehow it's flown under the radar. He hasn't gotten canceled. I don't know how. But old Ronnie Reagan's was a fucking N-bomb dropper.
They say he was a real dummy. Like, his wife, I guess, was smart as fuck.
Yeah.
And they knew that she could basically run the country. So she would, like, tell him everything to say. Like, there's a documentary, I think, on it right now.
Well, she also led the war on drugs. She was wrong on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything else, she killed it. Old Nancy Reagan. Nancy! Well, you know, he was an actor. He was the original Donald Trump.
Yeah, he could pretend.
Except he wasn't so extreme.
Yeah, he was pretty quiet, really.
He was just a good-looking ass actor, dude. And then he became like, fucking
okay,
president.
You guys tell me what to say, and I'll get up there and I'll say it.
Yeah.
And that's all he had to do.
He was like a political Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I love Clint Eastwood, bro.
I do, too. I do, too, man. That dude makes fucking great movies.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the last one? The El Torino?
Yeah.
Jesus. So good. I like The Mule. A lot of people didn't like The Mule. I love
it. I like The Mule.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good ones, man. Oh, goddamn. Mystic River.
Another good one.
Oh, Jesus. So good. Like, he makes some fucking bangers, dude.
I mean, he's a beast. It's his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I'm going to get Paul Rodriguez on this podcast one day and tell us his stories about Clint Eastwood walking onto Pebble Beach on fucking 11th hole. And he goes, excuse me, sir, you can't be here. And he goes, I own this fucking course. Paul Rodriguez telling the story, though, was beautiful, bro. It's beautiful.
I'd love to hear those stories.
I went to Paul Rodriguez's house one time, and he has a pole in one of the rooms. I was like, respect, kid.
A pool?
Pole.
A pole, like a stripper pole?
He's got honeys in there doing cardio.
Nice.
At least like he used to. Move. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know if he's still using it as much, but.
I want one in my house.
Yeah, you know, you could get it. You know what? That's funny. I used to go to this bar when I was in high school. We used to go to Mexico, you know, like I always talk about. And one of the bars is called the Green Door. Now, the Green Door was the only nightclub down there, quote unquote nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically where all the dudes that were actually trannies that dressed up like chicks, that were hookers.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all look at them and point at them and like try to figure out if they were men or women.
Right.
But there was a pole in there, and then it turned into like some weird tranny club after hours. But we never could go there after hours because the border there at that station closed at 10. So it was day drinking only there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we'd always get shit canned in there, and then we'd go to the bathroom, and you get a running start, hit the pole, fucking do a couple loops, and then hit the can. You know what I mean? It was beautiful.
I only went to Tijuana one time. It was in 1990 when I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, nice.
And, or maybe it was 91. One of the two. And I think it was 90. Yeah. I was in desert warfare training out there because the Gulf War was kicking off. So we went for a month to get trained up how to do shit in the desert. So we were at 29 Palms, California.
Okay.
And we took off. We had Liberty for one weekend, and we went to Tijuana, even though they told us we weren't allowed to go. But
it was popping back then, though, dude.
Dude, it was great. Like, the first time I'd ever really encountered prostitution at all. I mean, I was only fucking 19.
Yeah.
So we were at some bar. We're just in there drinking, and this train of them came through. There must have been 20 of them snaking through the bar in a line. And I was like, I had in my head my own vision of what the prostitutes in Tijuana would look like. And it was kind of gross what was in my head. They come through, dude, looking like today they would be Instagram models. I mean, hot as fuck. And you could get whatever, you blonde hair, blue eyed, but Mexicans. Spoke nothing but Spanish, and or if you wanted dark hair, blue eyes, dark hair, brown eyes, like whatever you wanted. And it was so, but I was so scared because they had filled our heads full of, yeah, you're going to want to go upstairs with one of these girls when they come grab you. And as soon as you get up there, there's a dude waiting on the other side of the door waiting. He's going to hit you in the head with a lead pipe. And he's going to take all your money. So I was like, oh, because they would come up and they would put their hand on your chest and they'd be like, you ready? And you're like, well, for what? And they're like, ready to go upstairs with me? $35. And you're like, whew, that's not very much money. Okay. Ooh, like, that's... and then you're like, oh no, man, somebody's going to fucking hit me in the head with a pipe. I can't. But probably nothing would have happened.
I was going, I remember that was my first time I went bar hopping, like club hopping from bar to like, I don't know. I think I went to TJ in like 96 or 97.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still in high school, bro. We went to San Diego Super Show. All my homies had lowriders. So we had a few of them had cars in San Diego Super Show. And we went out to TJ that night when I was 16, bro. And we went bar to bar. And it was fucking unbelievable. I just lived it up. I bet. We listened to Tupac, All Eyes on Me, double CD, There and Back. A little bit of Double Dutch, bus fucking pulled up at the club. I was in there putting in work. And it was nice, dude. I probably went to like 10 different. They used to have a big old nice district there before it became a war zone.
Yeah.
But they had like, who knows, like 20 bars and clubs on one street. It was so badass.
It was cool when we were there, man. There was all kinds of cool bars and great street food. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, the tacos are they're unstoppable. You're not getting a better taco.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not getting a better. I'm telling you, you don't even know what you're missing out on until you go to a legit taco spot. I talked to Alex today, my boy from Long Beach Jerky. He's down in Sayulita, Mexico, buying a fucking a property with four, they, which I think is brilliant. They're taking those shipping containers and fixing them up, and they're making apartment complexes out of them.
Oh, nice.
So he bought, there's like four or five of them on the property, and then like the property is super plush. All these huge, all bunch of fruit trees and shit on there. This is like, this is a very, I think this is like a 20-hour drive south from San Diego, whatever, Sayulita. It's way down there.
Wow.
It's like an hour south of, fuck, what's the city? I forget, but it's way down there. And it's a beautiful, I mean, he's living it up. I mean, the guy just said he gave up in COVID on America. He's like, fuck it. He went down there. They got a three-story little crib. It's like $800 a piece, $100,000 each. House is solar powers. They don't have electrical. They got internet. And I FaceTime him all the time. So he's got the internet down there.
Yeah. Jesus. He's living the life, dude. So I take it he's in a safe zone. Like, you don't got to worry about shit popping off down there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, the cartel runs things. And like, there is a way that the city runs. And basically, the cartel is the government.
Uh-huh.
Bars have to close at 10. If they stay open later, they have to deal with the cartel by paying them to stay open. Things like that level of a grip.
Yeah. So if you look too American, though, are you like
at risk
of getting kidnapped and held for ransom?
No, there's nothing worse to get bag negative attention down there than kidnap an American.
Yeah.
But no, he's living it up. Him and his cousin, and he's even got a new chick he met in December. They're dating. Like, this kid is just down there. Fucking everything is wonderfully affordable, and he's on the beach.
I got a friend that's a comedian. She's been living there for a long time. She moved from kind of comedy to primarily these, like, becoming an auctioneer and makes good money doing it. And she's been living in Mexico for a long time. Never had any problems. She loves it.
Well, again, it's a stigma as well, right? Like, that we're all going to die when we go to Mexico. Like, no, we're not, actually.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, go to Chicago. It's just as bad. Go to Los Angeles. Detroit. Everybody wants to pretend like Mexico is some fucking cartel haven of murderous. So is Chicago.
Right.
You know how many people died in New York the last year, the year before COVID from fucking.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to know where to go and not the same place. It's Chicago. There's areas of Chicago you don't want to spend any time in.
Chirac.
Yeah. Same way in Mexico, I'm assuming you don't want to spend too much time in Juarez or, you know, one of those places.
Yeah. But. Which I bet you, though, I bet you Juarez got some of the best tacos because it's behind enemy lines, kid. If it's a fucking war zone, they probably have great food.
I guarantee they do.
That's a bad neighborhood in L.A. I told you I got robbed in a taco truck. Them fools waited for me to pay.
Yeah.
I didn't get robbed. The taco truck got robbed. And then I was like, well, did they steal the fucking salsa lady and the meat and cheese? Because I paid. I think I paid again to be nice, but because fools were looking at me like I was in on it. Like I was the dude, the distraction. Like, fuck off, bro. I've been working at a nightclub all night. I just want to get a quesadilla for $4 and go home.
Oh, man. Oh, man. We need more street food around here. Used to, like, even in Indianapolis, like when you went to the bars, there were all these street vendors out there, like cooking like hunks of chicken and shit, you know, on a grill thing,
or
sausages, and you just can't do that shit anymore.
They shut it down.
That was my favorite thing in the world. You'd be just stumble out of a place, just fucked up, and you'd buy a whole big thing of chicken with barbecue sauce, and just walk around and put it on a stick for you, and you just, I mean, it was great.
I'll take a fucking hot dog down in 2 bites. Keep it moving.
Mm. Damn.
I love street food.
I guess probably, I don't know if the bars got pissed about it.
Oh, well, the restaurants, the bars, they're all losing money because everybody's going outside to buy the most amazing taco on the planet.
Yeah.
While they have these average-ass tacos for 3 times as much. Mm. But also, let's go ahead and shout out the Oakmont, Chris Burton's new bar be opening up in Indy. I don't know when I heard of April. I don't know, though, exactly, but get pumped up to support the homies, bro.
The Oakmont. Mass Ave.
Mass Ave.
Check it out.
Pulling triggers down there, making moves, kid.
Making big moves, man. I'm proud of that dude.
Gee, he's killing
it. You know what? He set back. He bided his time. Found the right opportunity. Bam, he's back.
Done and done.
Took a little break. Just at the right time, too.
Yep.
Right before COVID.
So also check out our YouTube, guys. If you could, please go to our YouTube. We're going to – I think our ACL videos went up today, so we're loving that. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We signed with the ACL. We are part of the American Cornhole League, if you don't know already, if you haven't listened to the last episodes. And we're going to be at the next – for sure the next 4 episodes, maybe next 4 events, maybe a lot more. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's showtime and it's go time. And get your cornhole game up. You never know. We might have to fuck you up if we have to, you know. Get fucked up if you have to.
If we come through your town and we put out the challenge, it's on you, man.
Yeah, no more excuses. Oh, I'm at work. Quit.
Quit your job. How important is this to you?
I mean, do you want to prove that you can beat us or not, fucko?
Yeah. Quit talking shit. Just bring your shit.
Don't talk about it. Be about it, friends.
Mm. Well said. All right, brother. Let's get out of here.
Hey, love you, buddy.
Love you.
Thanks, Jarrett.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.